So this morning, we're going to finish up our series that we have been in called Now What? I don't know about you, but in my life, when I have faced catastrophe, when I have faced overwhelming circumstances and situations, and now facing something like a global pandemic, I've never been through anything like this before. And it's caused me to just sort of throw up my hands and say, now what? What do I do now? How do I start over when I face something that seems so overwhelming? We've been looking in the Bible at various stories of people who had to start over. I believe that together we've learned a lot. Together we have seen Scripture teach us a lot. And I want to read to you a verse of Scripture that we have sort of used as a theme for this series from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says this: I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Of course, these are words from Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and this has sort of been the basis of our series as we have looked at other stories of people who started over. We've used Paul and this letter to the church at Philippians as sort of a starting point or a framework for this conversation. Philippians is a powerful book of the Bible. If you've noticed the last series, we also looked at Philippians. We looked in particular deeply at Philippians chapter 4. My goal was that we would sort of build our sort of theological understanding of the book of Philippians, because it's such a heavy book. It's so loaded. And as you read the book of Philippians, we learn a lot about the mentality of Paul, and we learn about the people that he was ministering to. And for this last message in the series called Now What, I want us to look at the story of Paul and look at how Paul gives us an example of a person who certainly faced devastating situations in his life in which he had to start over. It was because of that that he was able to write those words to the church at Philippi. It was because of the circumstances in his life that he was able to speak with such confidence, saying to those people, God is going to help you to start over. Actually, I can hardly think of anyone in the Bible who more epitomizes the things that we have learned in this series than Paul. Paul experienced unanswered prayers. He experienced heartache. He experienced all kinds of unexplainable things in his life. One of the things that came to mind as I was preparing this message, you can read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There was a time in which Paul opened up. He was writing to the church at Corinth, and he told them about something called a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was, but he said to them, listen, I've got this unanswered prayer, or at least I'm not getting the answer that I want to get, and it torments me day and night and day and night. And yet Paul said, in spite of this unanswered prayer, in spite of this physical thing that is happening to me that seems like it's unresolved, Paul said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get going. I'm not going to keep myself from moving forward. You see, we've learned in this series that if we're going to start over, we can't allow things that we can't explain to paralyze us. Paul also was the kind of person who epitomized the second thing that we learned in this series. I'm just going through some of this really quickly because I want you to know Paul's story. Some of you probably are aware that before Paul was Paul, his name was Saul. He was a Pharisee, and in fact, he was in charge of going and hunting down this new cult called Christianity and finding them and killing them. This was his past. This is how bad he was. He was so much of a religious zealot that he said, I'm going to annihilate the world of Christians. And so he went about trying to kill them, and it was while he was on the road to Damascus that the Lord literally appeared to him and brought him to a moment of salvation. If there was anybody who had something from their past, a mistake that they had made, that should cause them to get to a place where they said, I can't go forward, I won't be effective, I can't be effective. It was Paul. If they're also, if you learn about Paul's life, you know that not only had he done bad things, but he also was a person who had a life plan. He was on his way to power and prestige. In fact, the reason that he was doing this, the reason that he was going about and being such a zealot in trying to hunt down the Christians is because he was trying to make a name for himself. He was on the fast track to notoriety in his culture and society. And yet, although he was on the fast track to achievement, at least as his world would have known it at that time, God intervened in his situation. See, Paul taught us through his life that he could not allow the weight of his past mistakes or his previous ambitions to keep him from a new path. If you and I are going to start over, we have to let go of what has happened in the past, whether it be a mistake or whether it be previous ambitions. And if we're going to start over, we have to embrace the new path that God has for us. You know, you probably have heard the expression, this is either going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. If you remember in the second week of this series, we talked in particular about Naomi and how Naomi changed her name from Naomi to Mara. She was a woman who said, because of what has happened to me, I'm going to become bitter. Paul made the decision to not allow what had happened to him or the mistakes that he had made to eat away at him, to cause him to become bitter. Instead, he said, I'm going to get better. I'm going to improve, and I'm going to step into the new path that God has for me. I don't know about you, but when I face difficult things, I continually come back to that question. Am I going to get bitter, or am I going to get better? The last thing that Paul model to us that we've learned in this series is that Paul also modeled a rhythm of a life that was dependent upon the Holy Spirit to refuel and to equip him for the purposes of God in his life. The book of Acts condenses the timeline of Paul's life, but if you read in Galatians chapter 1, it clarifies that when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, that he didn't immediately get up from the road to Damascus and go straight into ministry. As a matter of fact, he spent 3 years being refueled and retooled. He spent 3 years learning and growing and being restored before he went out into ministry. You may say, Pastor Randy, why are you telling us that? Well, the reason I'm telling you that is because Paul demonstrated to us exactly what we learned in last week's message, which is this: when we face catastrophe, when we go through chaos, we can't underestimate its effect. Instead, we have to allow time for the Holy Spirit to restore us and to refuel us so that we can get up and become the people that God has called us to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4 to you because it really illustrates Paul's mentality. He says this: I determined to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. I don't want to know anything. My focus while I'm with you is to know Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul demonstrated to us an individual who had come to understand and had come to learn that if he was going to start over, if he was going to be effective at being the person that God had called him to be, he had to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Paul demonstrated what we learned from the other stories in this series so far. I want to encourage you, if you weren't able to be with us, you can go to our website, you can go to YouTube, or you can go to Facebook, and you can get any one of these messages and catch up with this series. Paul demonstrated all of these principles that we've learned so far. And as we finish up this series, I want us to see one final thing from the life of Paul about starting over. And that is this: Paul demonstrated that starting over means that from now on, I'm going to live my life with clarity. Here's one thing that I know we all understand. Chaos, catastrophe, heartache, when we face situations that are overwhelming, it creates a moment in our life of clarity. And that was exactly Paul's experience. Paul gained clarity through the things that had happened to him. And as a result of that clarity, he was able to live the rest of his life effectively for the cause of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, let me read verses 10 through 14 to you. This is Paul. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, Philippians is such a loaded book. Philippians chapter 3 is incredible. I would encourage you during your daily 20 this week to go to Philippians and read the book of Philippians and really focus in on Philippians chapter 3. There's such powerful theology there. And as we read these words, Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, listen, I have clarity. My life is about Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to declare Jesus. My life isn't about all of these other things. My life is about the kingdom of God. We have been learning together about the book of Philippians. We've been learning about the hardship that people have gone through. We've been learning about the difficulties that these people faced. We learned together about the place from which Paul was writing this letter to the church at Philippi. These were certainly people who knew suffering. These were certainly people who knew chaos. And it was from that mentality that Paul said, listen, this chaos, this suffering that I'm facing, it just helps me to be focused even more on what my life is all about. And my life is all about Jesus. Paul was effective in starting over, because his clarity gave him room for adaptability. Let me say that again. Paul was effective in starting over because his clarity gave him room for adaptability. When you and I get to a place in our life that we have clarity, what it does is it creates margin for us so that we can adapt to the circumstances that we may face. Paul was a man who lived his life in a very rigid way before Jesus. That is why he went about and he went after Christians to kill them. He was living his life according to the law. He was living his life in a box. He only ate certain things. He only went certain places. He only interacted with certain people. His life was incredibly rigid. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. When he met Jesus, it created margin in his life so that he could adapt to circumstances and situations. What did I read to you earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2? Paul said, All I care about when I'm with you is the message of Jesus. I want to know Jesus among you. Paul became clear on what his message was. He became clear on what his life was. Paul was a person who no longer majored in minors. He became a person who majored in majors. Think about it for a moment. When chaos comes into your life, when overwhelming circumstances and situations come into your life, what happens? It causes you and I to take stock of what really matters. When everything that you thought was right, when everything that everything that you thought your life was all about, everything that you thought was important, is taken away from you. It causes you to step back and ask yourself the question, what have I been investing my time and my energy? What have I invested my heart in? What is my life really all about? What Paul learned through what happened to him is that his life was all about the cause of Jesus. That he wasn't going to allow his life to be so rigid that he couldn't come in and be adaptable to the moments that God had him in. When we learn about Paul, we learn that Paul was a person who adapted in his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'd encourage you to go look at this later, in verses 20 through 22. Paul teaches us this interesting concept. Listen, before his life, remember, he was a Pharisee. Before he met Jesus, before the road at Damascus, before he was blinded, before all of that happened to him, Paul didn't have anything to do with anybody who wasn't just like him. He lived rigid. He lived according to the law. He did everything in a certain way. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, Paul says, Now because of the work of Jesus, to the Jew, I become like a Jew. To the Gentile, I become like a Gentile. To the weak, I will become weak. In other words, Paul was saying, I have become a person who is adaptable. I am a person who is flexible. I'm not a racist anymore. I don't live my life in a box anymore. I don't live my life according to these sets of rules that break me away from relationship. Paul says, because of my experience, because of the chaos, margin has been created in my life. Now I am adaptable. One of the saddest truths would be that you and I come out of a time like COVID-19, that we come out of a circumstance that in a situation that causes us to stop and reevaluate everything, that we come out of that moment in our life and we don't gain the ability to be more flexible, to be adaptable, to create margin in our life so that we can see the world differently. Not only was Paul effective in starting over because he was adaptable, but also, Paul was effective in starting over because his clarity created within him agility. I love this word, agility. It's been on my mind a lot lately. The reason why it's been on my mind a lot lately is because lockdown life was a little more static. I don't know what lockdown was like for you, but I didn't do a lot of moving around during lockdown. I did a lot of sitting around during lockdown. And as the restrictions have lessened a little bit, I've been moving around, and I've been finding myself a little winded. I mean, even like halfway through worship, I'm all like, ah, oh, praise you, Jesus. Hello, am I the only one? You know, when I went to university, they had this thing called freshman 15. We've been talking about it around my house. I've had lockdown 15. I just lost some physical agility. Why? Because I haven't been moving around very much. And here's the thing. What Paul came to a place in his life, he came to a place in his life that he allowed the circumstances and the situation that he faced to create within him greater agility. And we're not just talking about, I'm not talking about physical agility, but it gave him greater spiritual and emotional agility. When you face chaos, when you face overwhelming circumstances and situations, you're either going to push it against it and get stronger and get faster. You're either going to push against it and become the kind of person who is responsive, or you're going to cause it to allow you to just become static. And what we see from Paul's life is that Paul created greater agility, greater responsiveness in his life. He lived in a complicated world, but he would not be weighed down by the complications of his life. If there's anything COVID-19 has taught me, is that we live in a complicated world. Things can happen in a moment that shakes everything up. And you and I, as people, must determine whether or not we're going to become adaptable and agile, whether or not we're going to be people who gain the ability to be responsive to our circumstances, or we're so overwhelmed that we simply quit. Paul was a person who had, in his life, taught himself to confront and solve problems. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, people abandoned him, people hurt him, people did all kinds of things to him. He went to prison, he was shipwrecked, he faced all kinds of circumstances, but over and over and over again, Paul said, in spite of all of this, God is with me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm going to keep responding to whatever comes my way. Question for so many of us as we're in this moment where we have to start over. Maybe we have to start our careers over. We have to start our businesses over. We have to start our job, our education over. Will we be like Paul? Will we become more agile, more flexible? Will we gain the ability to respond? Or will we be people who allow the circumstances to overwhelm us to the point that we cannot and will not move forward? Friend, I love the way Paul finishes this thought in Philippians chapter 3. After he said that I read to you earlier, he comes to verse 15 and he says this, and I go back to it over and over again because I find it so challenging. Paul said, listen, I want to know Christ. I'm going to deal with my suffering. I'm going to deal with the heartache. I'm going to deal with the things that I face, and I'm going to keep moving forward. And he says this, everyone who is mature should think this way. Everyone who is mature, this is the way they should live their life. In other words, Paul is saying, when you face these circumstances, when you face these situations, guess what? It causes you to mature. It causes you to grow up. And a part of maturing is being adaptable and agile. A part of maturing is learning to respond when chaos comes, learning to respond when the situation is overwhelming, not quitting, not giving up, but keep pressing forward. Because the cause of Christ is at work in your life. Through this series, we have learned to start over. I cannot allow the things that I do not understand to paralyze me. We have learned that to start over, I have to let go of the past and I have to embrace a new path. Some of us are just going to have to let go of some things. We have learned that to start over, I begin by being refilled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord's help. And then we have learned that to start over, I have to determine to live with clarity. If I have clarity, it's going to give me the ability to be adaptable no matter what happens. I'm going to know what's really important. If I have clarity, I can be agile. I can respond to my circumstance with assurance, strength, with power. I want to ask you to stand with me all across this place this morning. Obviously, due to our restrictions, we're not going to be able to come up and have prayer time. Government has asked that we not do a prayer time where we have physical touching, so we're not going to be able to do that as we ordinarily would. But I do want to give you a moment this morning to respond to the Holy Spirit, whatever He may be speaking to you, whatever He may be saying to you. I believe that we as God's people, we have the ability through the Holy Spirit to respond to our circumstance right now. It doesn't take away from the hurt. It doesn't take away from the pain. It doesn't resolve every unanswered question. But through His power, we have the capacity. We have the capacity to keep moving forward. And not just keep moving forward, but to do so effectively, to do so as people who are seizing the day, who are adapting, who are agile, ultimately, who are effective. They threw Paul in prison. They said, we're going to take this guy out. We're going to eliminate his message. And from a prison cell, he wrote letters to churches all across his known world at that time that literally shaped the church. And guess what? Those letters have lived on and on and on. And we've preached from them. And you and I are growing from them. In other words, they sought to shut that man down. And yet his clarity caused him to not go to prison and quit. But he went to prison and he adapted and he was agile. And guess what? The message of Jesus that burns so clearly in him has gone on and on and on. So my question for you and I is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you and I? Although life may throw us circumstances, although our enemy may lock us down, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, Randy, here's how you can adapt. Randy, get up, respond, be agile in this circumstance. What business idea is God putting in your mind? What thing is he stirring inside of you concerning your relationships? What is the Lord speaking to you right now? Now is not the time where we quit. Now is not the time where we give up. Now is the time. Now is the time that we start over with the Lord's help. Father, I thank you so much for every person that is here. Lord, I love these people so much. My heart feels so good, so warm, just seeing so many of their faces. Love them dearly. I know that you love them even more than I can comprehend. I pray, Father, right now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that you would begin to stir within us. That you begin to stir within us the power to move forward, the power to start over. Lord, may we be mature enough. May we be mature enough to allow unanswered questions to lie, to leave them and move forward. May we be mature enough to let go of the things in the past. Yes, it hurts. Yes, the disappointment is there. But God, I will not let it make me bitter. Let it go. Lord, may we surrender to the Holy Spirit and submit to his training, submit to his development in my life. May I surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow him to empower me like never before. Lord, I pray that you begin to create vision, that you begin to create clarity within every heart and every life so that we would know, so that we would know exactly what it's all about, so that we would know what is the most important thing and that we wouldn't be sidetracked by all of these things. While they matter, they're not the most important thing. That we would be people who are not majoring in the minors, but that we would be people who are majoring in the majors. That we would have clarity so that we could have margin, so that we could adapt, so that we with agility could respond and seize the day, be effective. Father, I bless each one of these people. I pray, go with them this week. May they have a tremendous week in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you again for being here. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.